Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Southwest Louisiana Economic Intel Podcast. I am Dan Groff, Director of the Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University, Associate Professor of Economics at McNeese, and economist with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. Today we have Alberto Galan, Assistant to the Parish Administrator at Calcasieu Parish Police Jury. Alberto is from here. He went to St. Louis Catholic High School, graduated with a degree in business administration from LSU, and then earned a Juris Doctorate from Southern University Law Center in Baton Rouge. So he's a lawyer. He began employment with the parish in August of 2013 and was appointed assistant to the administrator in 2018. Additionally, and the reason I wanted to invite him here today, is that he serves in the role of long-term disaster recovery coordinator for the parish. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I enjoyed working with you and still working with you on the CPPJ long-term recovery plan, and you headed up that effort. Like, everything was, you know, you were kind of like the spokesperson.
Correct. Right? Well, with a lot of help.
Yeah, a lot of help, definitely. I was just on the economic development part, but you were involved in all facets. Correct. Hands-on, planning, constructing, and now implementation. And there's so much in the process, so many different programs, so many different funds. I wanted to sort of see if you could help maybe put it all in perspective, give some practical information.
Sure, I could definitely give it a shot.
Now, before we get into the program specifics, can you just give a little history on how the process began and how it was carried out?
Sure. So in addition to kind of the short-term recovery work, which is kind of your debris removal from the side of the road, and even to the extent that we're still kind of doing some of that stuff with the lateral debris removal program, which is probably going to approach a $200 million price tag and is just now wrapping up in the next month or so. And that's considered short term, and that's that's years after the storm. So this storm was definitely unique, but right out the gate, from experience, not mine, but from folks at the parish and others that have been through this before in storms like Rita and lots of others.
Yeah.
But that one stands out, that we had a need for a long term recovery plan, and we wanted to get started quickly so that we could have it in hand. Or either by the time the recovery funds, long-term recovery funds, were allocated by Congress, or shortly thereafter. Well, we did that quickly, within a year, and as we know now, we are just now getting into the process of applying for those funds since they were allocated well after they should have been. But mm-hmm. but we're finally getting there, and we're at a good place to be able to utilize that. It's a big undertaking to put that together with public outreach and things like that. So we did bring on Emergent Method, who helped guide us through that process, had done it before in blue sky time and in disaster time. So they were able to help us guide that process along with the volunteers like yourself and George Swift here at the Economic Development Alliance and a ton of others that headed up different categories, so to speak, of long-term recovery. So we have a game plan. That to date has kind of been piecemealed together with either local funds or COVID funds and things of that nature. But now that the state and the feds have agreed to a program, which we're going to talk about.
How does the parish government work with all different levels of government, the city government, the state government, the federal government? Like, they all got to be working together, right?
Absolutely. So on a local level, we work with municipalities, gravity drainage districts, special service districts that are fairly easy to work with, and we're on the same page. We live, work, play here, so we know what's going on. We endured the same things on both a personal and professional level since everybody was affected that lives and works here. At the state level, we have good relationships with the state agencies. GOSEP and Office of Community Development stand out because they're directly involved. GOSEP more on the short-term recovery work, and then OCD more on the long-term disaster recovery, which is where the big pots of money are coming down. That the $3 billion that you keep mm-hmm. you keep hearing, but it's a lot more complicated than that. Navigating through that process along with the state, with all the rules that are in place, can be quite daunting, but it's definitely a learning process, and we're still kind of moving along as quickly as possible.
You say
we're getting there.
$3 billion?
$3 billion.
Okay. What are the latest figures coming in? I remember when we first heard it was very low, and then the delegation, like, they fought for it. They got over a $1 billion. So what are the latest figures for funds coming in?
Sure.
And so, where are they going?
Yeah, so the funds are called Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Funding. So $3.1 billion, that's the figure statewide. $1 billion of that initially is for Laura and Delta alone.
Okay, so $3 billion for the state.
Yes.
And $1 billion base, or go ahead.
Yeah, and then the other $2.1 billion is for Ida and the May storms, which were included in as well because of the May floods. So we've got a piece of that as well. But in terms of kind of what we could talk about those pots all day.
Yeah.
A big chunk of that is for housing, but a lot of that is going to be administered by the state.
Mm-hmm.
The pots of money that you're going to see administered and locally driven and, for discussion purposes, locally controlled is $26 million that was allocated to the Calcasieu Parish Police Jury and $46 million to the City of Lake Charles for two particular programs that are for discussion purposes, again, I'll call an infrastructure pot and an economic development pot. And there are a lot of rules. So kind of the superhero with great power comes great responsibility. With federal funds come a lot of rules.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be able to follow those. And I can certainly talk about some of those on a high level here.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of rules to go through, but at the same time, you don't want fraud and people wasting funds,
correct,
right? Yeah,
correct.
So you really have to be careful. Mm-hmm. And you said bulk of it went to housing. Am I right? Like 70% went to housing or something like
yes.
that? Yeah. So, and of course, housing is really important to the economy, but this is an econ podcast. So let's break down economic revitalization. That's
sure.
one of the pots,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what does economic revitalization, what does that consist of in the programs and so forth?
So we're actually in a building that was funded through the pot. I don't know if it was called the same thing, but it had the same purpose.
We are in the Seed Center right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we're in the Seed Center.
Recording this.
This kind of facility is what it's for, in addition to other programs to help local businesses. And it's very diverse. We're just onboarding a consultant, Hunt Guyot and Associates, to help us administer this significant amount of money and navigate through that federal process, along with our grants team at the parish, which definitely has a lot of experience and knowledge in being able to lead kind of the administering of this. But ultimately, it's going to be up to our elected officials at the parish and then the city as well, since they got their own allocation. And we're going to have to be creative. One of the biggest challenges that did not exist when this building was built is that the money has to be spent for the most part in low to moderate income areas. We do not have that many parish-wide,
mm-hmm.
But that is a requirement implemented by HUD, and so we have to get creative on how we're able to spend those dollars. The Seed Center is where it's located, is not in a low to moderate income area, so why is it different? When those long-term recovery dollars were being spent after Rita, the Seed Center was built under a category that existed then that is called an immediate need. So there was an immediate need for this type of facility, which included a business incubator and things like that. So that exception or mm-hmm. category does not exist in the current rules, so to speak. So we'll have to be creative. We're really at the outset of the process, so we'll know more about what kind of programs, policies, and projects we can do. But this is an example of one of them. Small business loan or small business grant programs or other examples.
So any business that was destroyed, or if somebody wants to start a business, or
it can be both.
It can be both.
So we're learning a lot. We're like I said, we're gonna have to be really creative. The state already has a program that's open right now, and that's at www.restore.la.gov. And I would certainly recommend any business that was affected by the storms to at least go take a look at that,
mm-hmm.
and see what different programs exist out there for the business community. It is geared toward small small businesses, so it does have certain criteria, but it's worth anybody taking a look at that to see what opportunities exist out there. It might spark some entrepreneurial interest as well. But there's a lot of money out there. The difficulty really is navigating
it. Yeah, and the bulk of it went to housing, but it's all the buckets, administration, planning, infrastructure, housing, they're all part of the economy anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, you need housing, you need people, you need good infrastructure to have business and so forth. So it all kind of ties together.
Absolutely.
When you think econ, you're just thinking loans, but there's a lot more to it. And I mean, the hardest part, you mentioned Restore, the hardest part is implementation of a lot of these plans, right?
Correct.
And it's so hard to keep track of all that's available. Are there websites, phone numbers, et cetera, that are important? And we can put them in the show notes if anybody wants them. But like, what websites are available? What's the process consist of if people want to sign up, you know? And how do you actually get the funding to start your business or something?
Sir, so the quick and dirty would be restore.la.gov. You go to that, that houses all of this $3.1 billion programming.
Just one website.
Good. So you can kind of click around there for if you're a homeowner or if you're a landlord, if you're a business owner, or resident. You know, there's a lot of money out there for residents to either rebuild their homes, restore their homes, or even reimburse them for a cost that they incurred. If they have proper documentation, if they got a FEMA determination that their home was damaged more than $3,000, which is a pretty easy number to hit, and there's no low to moderate income requirement in that one. So if insurance didn't cover it, you got a FEMA determination that you had damage more than $3,000, go fill out that survey. It closes at the end of July, and after that closes, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to get into that program. I went and filled it out. I don't qualify, but hey, it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth filling out. They got me on the books.
Okay. And so recovery's definitely not done. We can all agree, and
Absolutely.
We drive around, we see it. What are the next steps in the long-term recovery process?
So really kind of hitting the first steps other than the piecemeal kind of ARP money, American Rescue Plan dollars that was implemented into infrastructure. This is where the opportunity is when you see a community transform. I'll talk about, you know, the infrastructure and economic development pots that are locally driven, because that's where the locals can use what we put together in the long-term recovery plan. And that's what it was designed to do, is to guide that process of spending those dollars and help our elected officials make informed decisions that the public wants to see. You know, a perfect example of that is leveraging funding like infrastructure to facilitate development. We are fingers crossed in the process of trying to get an award for a mid-city housing development, which a lot of folks have been, there's a lot of buzz out there. That would completely transform the area behind the mall and bring that up to what it should be,
right,
which is the ability to provide housing for not just low-income folks, but mixed income. And it's, the development is geared towards having that kind of successful combination of incomes. And also transform the community, upgrade infrastructure. We can use that is a low to moderate income area, but we can transform that into potentially making that over time not. So these dollars are designed to bring areas, infrastructure and economic development dollars, improve an area and potentially get them out of a low to moderate income classification by providing parks, by providing adequate drainage, improving property values.
Yeah, when you say infrastructure, that's what you mean.
Yeah,
the roads.
Roads, bridges, drainage, and upgrading, as well as, you know, implementing those infrastructure projects are critical to help that area. But that ultimately helps developers, whether nonprofit or for-profit, that helps developers make decisions into saying, hey, look, I can invest here, but I'm going to need some, make sure that there's infrastructure that can is adequate for, to say, 160 units to making that 600 units and building up into what you see in other communities. New Orleans is the closest example of where that's been done.
Now, you're from here. You've lived through like Rita and all that sort of stuff.
I was in high school for Rita, so I lived through it, but it wasn't as painful as Laura and Del Toro.
Yeah, well, We always like to talk about the economy here. How do you see our region's economy changing or evolving due to these recovery efforts? And how do you see the economic future of this region? I mean, it's hard to tell the future, and no one can, of course, but what do you think is going to happen?
I really think with the current investment that's been going on from people that are recovering, you've seen improvements to building facades. Mm-hmm. That's very obvious throughout the community and in Southwest Louisiana. I think that alone helps beautifying the city, helps attract others, and keep local talent as well. Mm-hmm. And then the investment of these significant dollars into infrastructure and economic development in the region by those that receive those funds, and that includes Cameron Parish and any parish that was affected, they'll get a chunk of money. And they're very important to us as well as a coastal community in terms of protecting our economic assets and investments. So you're going to see a lot of development that is also resilient. Mm-hmm. So buildings and infrastructure and things that help us right now in blue sky times and make us look better and provide more services to our residents, whether it's private or public services. You're going to see a lot more improvement that is also able to withstand a lot of these storms so that the devastation isn't as significant. There's opportunities out there to put at least in new developments power infrastructure and broadband underground, which makes it not immune but pretty close to being immune from hurricanes and at least winds and things like that. So as we invest in those kind of things, you're ultimately going to see a quicker economic recovery when it comes to future storms, but you're going to see a lot of investment by other businesses and entrepreneurs that say, okay, there's opportunity, there's money out there, mm-hmm. and there's money coming, and it's a significant amount. Now's the time to look into those programs, get geared up, look at opportunities to invest, because you're going to get help in terms of implementing your project or your idea with resilient measures that not just for hurricanes, but for floods, freezes, anything that comes our way.
Everything we experienced. Yes. Yeah.
we experienced just about everything we could experience at a pretty high level. So lots of lessons learned, and you're seeing a lot of improvements in our, I'll use water, for example. Mm-hmm. There's been a significant investment in our water infrastructure. The freeze exposed a lot of limitations and things that we're missing, and so you're seeing anything from generator installations at your water facilities that might not have had them previously, or you're upgrading those systems, as well as you're upgrading lines to be able to withstand with the newer technologies a lot of these freezes and storms and things like that, so that as we learned, or at least I learned, water was the number one thing that I wanted to get back as quickly as possible. I learned to live without power, but living without water is extremely difficult. Improving those systems is critical, and a lot of these are provided by smaller units of government, special service districts that have anywhere from 3, 4, or 5 employees to 20. There's limitations there. So having those improved infrastructure systems that are automated, that are backed up, that are redundant, so that you're able to restore power or restore water or any power or anything, is extremely important to residents to be able to come back and rebuild.
Yeah, and just overall what I'm getting is, too, it's like we're going to have a much more, I don't want to say business friendly, but an area, an environment that's conducive to economic growth. That's how it's really going to affect us. We'll have better infrastructure, better investment opportunities. Yeah, exactly. Better housing.
We can start catching up to where we should be. It's tough to keep up with development, which isn't a bad thing, but this will hopefully give us the ability to get a head start, look ahead, and put strategically infrastructure where it should be, that in areas that are more resilient and less prone to flooding and things like that.
I was just gonna say more resilient, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Resiliency is key, and that is kind of something that drives these programs, is improving that and providing services to residents and folks that previously did not have it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for filling us in. We really appreciate it. If you need anything, we'll put websites in the show notes. And thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. No, we could talk all day about this stuff. I've got books right next to me.
I'm staring at them right now. There's a lot of stuff, but we don't have enough time.
Yeah. But I would certainly encourage anyone to go to restore.la.gov and just go click around. You'll be surprised at the types of programs that you might be eligible for, whether you're a resident or a business.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks.
This show is presented by the H.C. Drew Center for Business and Economic Analysis at McNeese State University in partnership with the Southwest Louisiana Economic Development Alliance. You can find more information about our regional economy at www.mcneesedrewecon.org.